Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
WGR.
It's hard to find an expert more dedicated than John Clayton.
Sports Radio 550.
He's the consummate pro.
It's John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
With Chopin the Bulldog.
John Clayton is being brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Welcome back. We've got the Sabres tonight, but let's first enjoy our weekly chat with John Clayton. John, how are you? You met Josh. How'd that go?
Good. I mean, it was so brief. I was getting worried because, you know, we were like five after the hour, and it's like, Josh called like about, 15 seconds before getting on the air with you because he was just finishing up his tape report.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like, no chances. But hi, Josh. Nice to meet you.
It's me. I'm having a tough time lately getting us out on time. So I know there's been a memo and, we're just having too many good conversations, John. This has surely happened to you, maybe at ESPN, where you just can't stop. They want you to, you got to wrap it up, but you know it feels wrong. It feels like this is too interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's my story. Okay,
yeah, we'll try to make this that then.
Yes, John, we were discussing whether or not you would say that the Bills, in your opinion, are the best team in the NFL. Would you say that?
Right now, I'd say, I guess you could say that. I mean, you know, the only thing you would argue is that Arizona's 7-0, but, so what I did from that is that I had to do a Washington Post piece this week, and I had to pick the MVPs, and they said, pick five MVPs, and I said, no, there's more than five, and I counted up 10, and that excludes Derek Carr and an injured Russell Wilson. Because once Russell Wilson gets back on the field, which it will be in a couple weeks, you know, he'll get back in the mix. But what I did is that I put Kyler Murray at number one, not to be angry at Josh Allen. Obviously, Tom Brady number two, and then Josh Allen number three. But I guess when you're talking teams, you know, even though Arizona's the only undefeated team, and you know, it's really kind of gone through a little bit of a tougher schedule, I think you make the argument that Buffalo's number one.
Yeah, the Arizona, and not Tampa.
No, Tampa Bay number two. They lost to the Rams.
They did. Right. They did. Right. And Arizona beat the Rams. That's right. So that's very clean right there. That's clean.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is all a long way to go to, I guess in a certain way, ask you just how impressed you were with the Bills on Sunday night, John, because you know how we are, and you can imagine what the build up to this game was like. The players, of course, said all the right things all week long, and maybe they believe them. I don't know. I don't need to be skeptical of that, but we from the outside were like, I need to see this team beat the Chiefs. I need to see this team play well against the Chiefs. And they not only played well and beat them, they drummed them.
Mm-hmm. No, agreed, and they did it on the road, which was even more impressive because you know how loud that crowd was in Kansas City. I mean, as loud as maybe Seattle, but right up there in the top two or three. And so to be able to go there, have the ability to get the signals called, do all those different things, you know, do well on defense, you know, get the key turnovers when necessary, and, say what you want. It's like you noticed when I said, you know, Kyler Murray number one, Tom Brady number two, and then Josh Allen number three. Where's Patrick Mahomes?
Mm-hmm.
He was, because I still consider Patrick the most talented quarterback in the league, but obviously, I have him down, probably about 6 or 7 right now. In the last 13 games. I guess it goes back to last year, and in 14 games, he's thrown 13 interceptions. He's throwing more interceptions this year than he ever has in his career, and making more mistakes than he has at any time in his career. You're not seeing that with Josh Allen.
No, and the obvious thing to say, I think, is that the Chiefs are suffering from some sort of they're bored, or like last year, 2 Super Bowls in a row. That's sort of the knee-jerk kind of assumption that people would tend to make. I don't know. Maybe there's some truth in that, but it's not like, they were beating everybody by a lot last year either. Second half of their season, they were almost all close games, and, their loss to the Chargers was obviously a close game. But less so this one. I thought they looked off, and maybe they have all year, Kansas City.
Well, first off, the defense is so much off compared to last year. He revamped the offensive line. That's different. So when you put that all together, it's not as good of a team this year as it was last year, and they're paying the price. And, you go back with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, even many times last year, was able to come back and get that fourth quarter comeback. Well, guess what? This year, it's not the same. He's not getting those fourth quarter comebacks as well. Sure, he's putting himself in a position to get the comeback, but in a key situation, he'll throw an interception. While he was healthy, Clyde Edwards-Helaire would have a fumble, and then they'd lose that opportunity to come back.
John, you've probably voted for the MVP award.
Well, not yet.
No, I don't mean this year, but historically?
Yeah.
It's 50 voters, media members, right? And it changes year to year, is that right?
Not too much, no.
Not too much.
If somebody comes off a beat or something like that, it's an AP vote, and AP doesn't make too many changes as long as you're working and doing a good job. They'll ask you at the beginning of the off season if you want to continue, and naturally you want to continue because it's such prestige to be able to make the vote like that. But no, there's not a lot of changes.
It's funny, the Heisman works like that. I was a Heisman voter for almost 20 years, and you get an email like in August or so, and are you still covering college football or talking about it, whatever, based on what your job is? Yes. And, for a few years there, I really wasn't. Like, we don't do a lot of college football in here. And so this year, or last year maybe, it hit me, I didn't get that email. And so I wrote the guy, I'm like, was there a mistake? He's like, no, we just realized, based on your website or something, that there wasn't really any college football content. So we pulled your vote. I'm like, okay, well, that seems right. I deserve that. Right. Because really, with the Heisman, I would just sort of like scramble at the last minute and talk to some people and make a call. But I wasn't like diligent about it. I'm certainly not on the beat. So anyway, that's a good thing for this award. I love this race. I was writing about it myself a couple days ago, and you said it with Mahomes, right? Like, you've got a number of guys here who all have makeable arguments: Jackson and Rodgers and maybe others, Prescott. So this is going to be a really fun year, a great year for this.
Yeah, because when I did the list for the Post, I had 10 players. I had Derrick Henry as number 10 as the only non-quarterback, but 9 of the 10 were all quarterbacks. And you can see, you can make an argument for just about every one. Like, for example, Lamar Jackson had the incredible game Monday, and I felt bad, but I had him down at number 4 then, because I just did not want to put him above Josh Allen. Number 5, obviously you have Aaron Rodgers, and then you go through the list, and the list is really impressive. And again, it's a quarterback-driven league, and when you have 9 quarterbacks that, at least on my list, that are good enough to be MVP candidates, what's that say? Because you look at all 4 teams. All the teams of the 9 quarterbacks, the only team that has a losing record is the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think there's only like 15 teams right now in the league with winning records.
Mm-hmm. John Clayton with us here on the Wester Hotline. Well, John, the Bills, with that win, impressive as it was, are in super shape with respect to the standings. The division looks pretty easy, relatively speaking, And the conference, like, there are two other, I think two, Baltimore and the Chargers, who play each other, by the way, on Sunday, 4-1 teams. But with the schedule the Bills have, they would look to have a pretty good advantage over those teams, I would say. You know the schedules well. I know that's like it's an angle where you've spent a lot of time thinking about it. Would you agree with that?
No, I would agree, because, again, so much of the schedule has to do with what division teams are you playing in the AFC, what division players teams are you playing in the NFC, and then the division itself. And all of a sudden, the AFC East looks so much easier. I mean, you look at New England, again, it's like they're just average. I mean, they've got Mac Jones at quarterback. They're pretty good on defense, but despite all the additions they've had on offense, they've been average. And then you look at Miami, I'm just baffled by their bad start, because they're one win so far. I mean, and again, you can see some panic going on with them down there. And of course, the New York Jets are terrible. So it's like, I mean, you look at that and you think the possibility is there to go 5-1 or 6-0 in a division. And if you can do that and get a good out of division schedule, then you're looking at, 12, 13 wins.
John, it's been a tumultuous week. Last week at this time when we would have spoken, we didn't know anything about John Gruden's emails. By Friday night, we did. And by Monday night, he was no longer the coach of the Raiders. Where do you think this is headed next? There's been a lot of clamor for more emails to be released. The league, I think, would prefer not to, because ownership could be compromised. It's not just the Washington football team. Do you have an idea of where this might be heading next?
Well, I think it's pretty well ended. The only thing that needs to be concluded is what happens with the Washington football team, because nothing's happened to them. I mean, the only thing's happened with the Washington investigation were 40 women were complaining about the workday environment being so bad, and naked pictures being emailed back and forth, naked pictures being taken, harassment in the building. Nothing's happened there. And the only thing that's happened from the Washington investigation is that John Gruden gets fired because of the emails he sent, and Adam Schefter gets caught sending a story to Bruce Allen and saying, hey, could you come finish this up for me to get this right? And, he had to apologize for that. It's not going to get him in big trouble, but again, he gets reviewed for that and all that stuff. And, it was a mistake that he made, because that's just not good journalism. But, I mean, when you look at the Washington investigation, nothing happens to Washington, and something happens to Gruden and Adam Schefter.
John, the Schefter part, we haven't really talked about that, but, I mean, how would you navigate that, or how do you see that? Like, I mean, I think, especially with some of the wording that was reported, you would not want a reporter to know that he is doing how that read, right? Like, he's going to one party in the story and asking, like, just, is there anything I've missed? Kind of. And that's wrong. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, don't most people understand, like, that in terms of Schefter or Ian Rappaport, I would say this about as well. Like, you have to know that there is, like, sort of, there's access. There's a lot. I've said about Schefter before, I bet he knows a lot of the draft picks before the draft, things like that he's privy to that he's not reporting, because it's really, he doesn't work for the league per se, but he kind of does. And so, I guess this isn't like, I don't mean this personally toward him, but this isn't like really surprising to me that this would have happened, or this kind of thing would have happened. And, also it's not surprising to me that it would have happened on the league side.
Yeah, but also it's like, if I'm not mistaken, it didn't have anything to do with the draft. It had to do
I know. I just meant that as an example of, like, I think he probably has a lot of information that, it's just you tell us. I mean, you're the one sort of in that job for many years. There's a trade-off that a reporter makes.
The trade-off is you protect your sources, right? And obviously, I mean, Adam protected, Bruce Allen, because nothing came out until now, and we're talking a story that's 10 years old. But, what you're looking at is that, you can't betray your sources. Like, somebody asked me today, because, particularly even more so back in the ESPN days, I'd call up a general manager, and, you know, you share information, right? And what you're talking about sharing, things that you're seeing. In my case, I'm always trying to find the NFL trend before the general manager finds the trend. And then, of course, you share that and then do that. But, like, for example, I used to call so many GMs before the draft, you know, either the night before the draft or the day of the draft. And, of course, you know, they said, well, geez, I mean, are you sharing what you're hearing from the other GMs? I said, no, I'm not. I said, well, I'm sharing the trends that I hear based on talking to a lot of people. But the one thing is, and you can both appreciate this, if you ask a GM, hey, who are you going to draft? They're not going to tell you. So you don't ask the stupid question. And it's a stupid question to ask because you're not going to get an answer. So they said, well, boy, do you share what with another general manager what the other guy says? I said, no, because he's not going to tell me
anything. Well, you know, John, right. I'm sorry for using the draft as an example. I just mean, like, in general, I think there's a lot of information those guys have to know that they're just not reporting. I mean, Schefter is first to everything. Like every Saturday night or Sunday morning, he's first with all the inactives. He's first on everything. So like it's how it works, you know. And so this sort of reveals a line being crossed, it would seem, where he's asking this person on management side to help him with this story, and you know that seems egregious. But it's also like to me, as I'm trying to get across here, I feel like, well, of course, you know. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
To a point. I don't know if I'm saying too much by
I can understand it because, I mean, you know me with the database and you know me with the schedule and you know me with all the little fine details I try to follow. You know, sometimes it's going to be, there's some topics that are a little bit more difficult than you follow. And so, like, for like again, you know, I've done the lockouts and strikes since, what, 1982? And actually, I go back even into the 70s with some of the strikes there, but there wasn't the, you know, the problem with the cap and things of that nature. And so it gets real complicated in trying to figure out what it's going to do. And believe me, it's like having worked with Adam and having the greatest respect in the world for Adam because he's so good at what he does. I mean, he's not as up to date on, and particularly back in 2011, on the labor part of things. And so you can understand where he's going to reach out and ask, but you don't do it by sending the story.
Okay, of course, right. Well, fun times here. I mean, it's reminiscent of the early 90s teams, and this team is really putting on a show here week after week, record for most weeks in a row, leading at the half. A lot of things are going well. You and Josh are getting along. There's just a lot to like about life right now.
We had 8 good seconds together.
I'm thinking of a line I won't say. Okay. Enjoy the Kraken. Tough start, 0-1, but I feel like they'll bounce back.
Oh, yeah. They played a good game. I mean, again, you can see they were not as athletic and talented as the Las Vegas team because obviously the Vegas team is a contender every year right now, but you can see they're resilient. And so here in their first game, they fell behind 3-0. They came back and made it 3-2. They came back and make it a good game, and they lost on a play that you probably like. I don't. It's like, the guy kicked the puck into the goal with his skate, and they gave him the goal.
Wow.
I didn't like that.
No distinct kicking motion.
Get used to hockey.
I know. Right,
yeah, John, there's a lot of this, John.
Seattle hoping to join Vegas as the only two franchises to have been good their entire existence.
Mm-hmm. I think they will be.
Thank you. John, thanks. Talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks.
John
there
Clayton.
You go. John Clayton's weekly appearance with us, always brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
I think Seattle should be good, but we'll see. We don't know. Vegas has always been good forever. They've always been really good. They've never had tough times.
I don't know. I mean, I know the division is weak, and they got, they're getting a decent amount of, credit, moving into the season. Like, people like the build of the roster and all that, but they weren't as aggressive as Vegas at the expansion draft. So I don't know. I'm curious to see. I think the division being weak is their best thing. Like, I mean, Vegas was like a can't miss playoff team almost from the minute the season started. Seattle, I might set my sights a little lower. Like they should, maybe they'll contend for a playoff spot, but I don't think they're going to be Vegas myself.
All right. Speaking of tough times, I mentioned that those two words. What kind of year are we looking at here? I think, you know, it might not be the best. Sabres and Canadiens open tonight. Well, Montreal has already played. The Sabres open their season tonight. We have pregame at 6, and Paul Hamilton will join us for that. If you want to join us yourself, 803-0550 is the number. We'll be talking about the season opener as we continue here after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.